Teaching Writing Online. Welcome to today's episode of Teaching Writing, a podcast by Roger Graves. I'm the Director of Writing Across the Curriculum and an Associate Director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at the University of Alberta. Here at the University of Alberta and at many other schools across North America, we've been asked to teach or move our classes online pretty quickly. And I thought I'd take a few minutes here and just talk about some of the things that I've learned about teaching online in the last several decades. There's a moment in a Guy Ritchie movie called Snatch. There's a scene where two of the characters attempt to steal money from a bookie, only to be informed by the clerk that all bets are off. Well, if you're in a post-secondary instructor in North America, and beyond for that matter, right now, all bets are indeed off. So let's talk a little bit about some of the best practices for teaching online, and specifically teaching writing online. The number one thing I've learned is to be present online. Now, what that means is that students can tell that you've been there or that you currently are there. One way of doing that is to leave notes for the class. I've done this in the past, sort of at the start of the week. I'll say, oh, here's what we're working on this week. Here's the kind of things you should probably be doing at some point during the week, that kind of thing. I'll also, if there's a particular day that a class is being offered and that they're supposed to be around, for that day, I would then post something that you expect people to do. So that's one way of sort of making sure that they know you're there. There's other ways, like going through the discussion, if there are discussion boards going or discussions going, initiating or just responding. And you don't have to respond like in excruciating detail, but just something to show that you've been there, you read, you thought about what somebody said, and you reacted to it. They're looking to see that you're really there, because if they're not going to, they're going to follow your lead. So if they see that you're there, then they're going to be there. The second practice I would advocate is that you print off your roster or create a spreadsheet, and then you make sure that you send a note to anyone who is not active online and ask if they need help. So if you can sort of check off as you're going through your CMS site, your e-class site, and you can see who's been there, who's been online, and who hasn't been online. If you don't do it in a systematic way, you're going to miss some people, at least if you have a larger class anyways. And this is just a way of sort of, some people are, you know, kind of hiding out or whatever, not really participating. It's a way to kind of, you know, gently sort of prod them and say, hey, I'm here. Are you here? You know, kind of thing. And you're paying attention and looking for people to participate without sort of coming out that way. So you might just ask them if they're having troubles technically or in some other way, and then see if you can negotiate with them some way in which they could participate more. The third practice that I would advocate is that you set parameters. Tell them when you're planning to be online. If you have a regularly scheduled class period, maybe you can say, I'm definitely going to be online in those time slots, plus some other times. But also make sure they know that when not to expect you there. So that they're not posting a note or emailing you with a question and expecting an answer in 20 minutes or whatever. But there have to be some periods where you are going to be around, and then kind of count on those. And to the extent that you want to set your schedule up, you need to do that. But the key thing is to let them know what that is, and then you got to stick to it. I think that's really useful, because otherwise, if you're teaching online, this can kind of bleed off into, you know, anything from 8, 7 or 8 in the morning till, you know, midnight or beyond. And you don't want to be caught in that. So you want to structure your engagement with the course, and you want them to as well. The fourth practice I would advocate is that you create spaces for students to post their own drafts and to review drafts of other students and assignments. Now, the reason I advocate that is that instead of having people talking to each other through audio or, you know, in person, they're going to be talking to each other through writing. So this writing, the e-class space, is now going to be a writing-intensive environment. What you want to do is help that out, use that environment to get them to do, in fact, more writing. And if they can do some of this peer review work, they're going to feel engaged in that. They're going to feel that the time that they're spending online is worth it, that there's value there. I would advocate that you do that. You create those spaces for students to do some of that work in public, online, like in public, as in public within your course, not in public on the web. The fifth practice that I would advocate is that you model in your posts and in the frequency of your online presence the behavior you expect from students in the class. They're going to cue off of you. That's just the basics about this. That's just the way that's going to work. So whatever you're modeling, make sure that's what you expect back from them. You expect them to be online a few times a week. You expect them to post some things. You expect them to read some things. If you're expecting a draft, you want to see that draft's posted and things like that. You yourself might put out a model attempt at something. And so they see you participating, then they follow your lead. In the way you participate, that's the thing that they're going to do as well. Whatever tone you use in your messages, and you have to be really careful about this, they're going to see from your tone the kind of tone that they can use. And so you want to really be careful about any kind of constructive criticism. The sixth practice that I would advocate is that you create what are called frequently asked question pages, FAQ pages, and you get that material from email that you get from students. Now, I was teaching a 200-student class. It was a blended experience. I would get these emails, and as soon as I got the second or third email about any particular question, I'm thinking, okay, there's a lot more people out there who are asking that same question of themselves. They just haven't emailed me about it. So I'll create an answer to that, which I will then email back to whoever asked me, but I will also take that text and put it in the FAQ page. And in that way, I start to build those pages out. Those are the kinds of things that I would post then to the entire group. I'm going to share a resource with you that's been really interesting, really useful to me. It's called Teaching Writing Online. The author is Scott Warnock. The publisher is National Council of Teachers of English. It's a 2009 publication. But he has this one section at page 20 and 21 where he's talking about getting the right mix of technological tools. Now, in the environment we're in right now, where everybody's been asked to move stuff online extremely quickly, this is really, really important. And one of the things he says is, establish what your core technologies are going to be, and then make sure that you're just going to use those so you limit yourself. Now, people are going to throw all kinds of new and exciting and great technologies at you, and the problem you have is, what's my learning curve for each of those technologies? And right now, you probably don't have a lot of access time for picking those up. If you do, great. But you want to make sure that you limit yourself to a set of technologies that really do what you want to do. So, for example, your pedagogical need, he says, is communicate with individual students. Use email. You're already familiar with email. Students are familiar with it. That's a core technology for you. The e-class learning system at the university, that's a second core technology for you. Whether or not you want to use message boards and things like that, you want to use anything that's in e-class. You can kind of assume that students have some familiarity with at least, or that they can build that, and that there's lots of support for learning that. So that's the kind of thing you want to do. There's lots of ways to establish peer review that are outside of that. We created one called the Game of Writing, for example, but you don't want to try to pick that up at this point or learn that kind of stuff at this point. So the key principle there is just make sure that you limit your technologies both for your own learning curve reasons and for that of your students. Well, thanks for listening and good luck with your online experience in the next few weeks. My name again is Roger Graves. You can find me at roger.graves@ualberta.ca or roger@weekendwrite.ca.